for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, December the 31st, 2017. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the morning, teaching on having the faith of Christ.
Well, thank you for your giving, and the Lord sees, doesn't He? We know He does because He stood at the treasury and watched what they put in. He's very interested in what we do in giving. Amen. Lord, we thank You for this offering. We bless it in the name of Jesus. All that's come in, Lord, to this place, Lord, of ministry. Lord, let it be enough. You know how to multiply. Lord, bless those that have been able to give, that have obeyed and given. Multiply back to them. In the name of Jesus, we bless this. Amen. Praise God. And we certainly thank the Lord for the staff here. They're an inspiration, aren't they? They're faithful. And faithful people are very inspired people. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, I want to say this before I begin this morning. Are you sitting together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus? Are you? You're supposed to be. Amen. Sitting together in heavenly places with in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about having the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ. Praise God. Father, we ask that the Spirit of the Lord be upon us. That You anoint us, Lord. Praise God. Every one of us. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Scripture says we don't know how to pray as we ought. Romans chapter 8. If we don't know how to pray as we ought, then how do we know how to have faith as we ought, or as we should? This is what we'll talk about this morning, how to have the faith that pleases God. Let's keep in mind that nothing and no one but His Son, Jesus Christ, will ever please the Father in heaven. That's the only thing that ever... I can't bring anything to Him or do anything in His name that will please Him unless it is in the image person of Christ. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him, that's Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Grow up in Him in all things. Now, do we know what is meant by the term in all things? In all things. Not just the things that we want to pick and choose, but in all things. Every area of our life. We have to grow up into Christ in every area of our life. We cannot keep something for ourselves. No, God, I'm going to give You this, but this little area over here is mine. That applies to time, to our mind, to our actions, our works, everything. We have to... Is this right? We have to grow up into Christ in all things. If you're holding on to something somewhere, you'll never be successful. I will never be successful. Now, do we know that? Now, does this growing up in all things include growing up in faith? Well, it does. But what faith or whose faith? The answer lies in the words, into Him, even Christ, into Him. Not the faith described by preachers, books, whatever. There's so many books. There are books back there. And everywhere you go, books on faith, telling you how to have faith. Have they ever worked for you? Not those. Not what man says. You know, Paul, in Galatians chapter 1, he said, the gospel I preached didn't come from man, but by the revelation of Christ. Everything is bound up in Christ. This is what we're getting to this morning, including your faith. Including my faith. The faith of Christ, or the faith that Christ had, and that Christ now has. Can we make ourselves anything? Or can we produce anything in ourselves or of ourselves? Can we? We're to grow up into the faith of Christ. We cannot operate in our faith, in human faith, but we must grow up into the same faith of Christ. The same faith that Christ had when He opened blind eyes, cast out devils, raised the dead, calmed the raging storms of the sea. That faith, the faith of Christ, we must have operating in us. Each of us. The same faith that Jesus had to say, "Not my will, but your will be done." There at the end of His life in the garden, He had faith to say, you know, sometimes we get so, we get a little glimpse, perhaps. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. And that happened actually with Peter in the last chapter of John, when the Lord told him by the Holy Spirit, said, "I never say anything I don't hear my Father say." He said, "When you're old, somebody else will take you and lead you where you don't want to go." Speaking or signifying by how He would die. And Peter didn't like it. He said, the only thing he could think of to say was, "Well, what about John, you know? What about him? You're treating him different. He leans on your breast. He's closer to you, and I don't like it. What about him?" And the Lord said, "What's that to you? You follow me. What's that to you? You follow me." Praise God. Don't be comparing yourself to someone else, their ministry, their talents, or even their walk with God. Don't do that. Praise God. Now, so when Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will be done," you realize that took faith to say that. When you see something coming, and how am I going to make it through this? Or maybe you're in the midst of something this morning, how am I going to make it through this? How did Jesus hang on that cross? By faith. Look at Abraham. By faith, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. For most of us, that'd be a very difficult thing to do. But there was something even more difficult than that. And it says, by faith, he sojourned in tents. He sojourned in the land that later on he would receive. Of course, he didn't in a sense, but his children did, his seed in him. By faith, he sojourned. I learned one thing. It's easy to get up and go do something. Oh, yes, hallelujah, praise God. But it's a little harder to stick with it. To stick with it. How many people do you know start things and never finish it? There's a biography. And these young missionaries, I believe in Brazil, and they had quite a ministry there, about 100 people. But they lost their property where they were renting. They had to find a place. The only thing they could find, they had to find it quick, was on the side of a hill. They had to build something. And, I mean, start from scratch. That's all they could find. They got out there and found out it was even worse than they thought. Almost no electricity, no utilities. The bus didn't even go that far. But they were out there digging. Here was their equipment to dig footing for buildings. A pickaxe, if you know what that is, you pick it off and scoop it up. And their wheelbarrows were toe sacks and drag them around. Well, it was getting hard, and they were losing people right and left. This is too hard. The missionary and his friend, his wife, lost their best friends. They left their right-hand man and his family. One day, two young men showed up. Said, "We believe God sent us here to help you." "Well, okay, here's your pickaxe and shovels." And they would come down with that axe, and every time they'd come down, "Another soul in the name of Jesus." Well, by noon they were quiet. It got quiet. By the end of the day, their hands bleeding. They said, "You know, we just feel like God's calling us to another ministry." My faith, you sojourn. It's not to cast stones at anyone that can't stay there, you know. Remember when, I don't know why I'm saying all this, but remember when David and his mighty men went after they got back to Ziklag, their home, and the city was burned, their wives and children were taken, and David consulted the Lord. They were going to stone him. They murmured against him, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. We must practice that because you're going to need to. We must encourage ourselves in the Lord while we're sojourning by faith. And so they pursued after them, and half the men couldn't go any further. And he told them, well, you just stay with the stuff, you know. And the other half went on. Well, when they got back and they had the spoils, brought their wives and children, God bless. And the ones that went into the battle didn't want to share. They didn't want to share the spoils with those that weren't able to go on. And David said, no, it's even, it's equal between those that stay with the stuff and those that go. And that was the principle in Israel from then on. Then Jesus said that he talked about the man that went out to hire people. Do you remember this? And he hired some at the beginning of the day, and all along during the day he's hiring them. And he, the first ones, he made a deal with them how much he'd pay them. Well, at the end of the day, those that only worked 1 hour came up, he gave them the same amount. And every one that came, he started with the last and went back to the first. And when the first ones got there, they complained. They said, we bore the heat of the day. We're out there working in the scorching sun. You're going to give these guys who only work 1 hour the same as us? They said, that's not fair. He said, why? And the Lord said, why do you think evil in your heart? It's my money. If I want to be good to someone, it's my business. I want to tell you something. If you think that somebody's passing you by in the ministry and finances or whatever it is, don't complain to God. It's His money. It's His business. It's His anointing. And if He wants to be good to someone, rejoice with Him. Praise God, rejoice with Him. We don't know all the facts, folks. Praise God. Well, anyway. And Jesus had faith to die, to rise again, to return to the throne of His Father in heaven. I need to stop and say, there's some in here. God had me say that for a reason. You're grieving and mourning over the fact that it seemed like you didn't come into this till later on. And you missed a lot. Let that go. Amen. Let it go, praise God. Or maybe there's some in here, and I believe there is, that you started out way back there somewhere. You couldn't handle it. You dropped out. You were tempted, whatever it is. Now you're back in, and you're grieving over the years in between that you seem to have lost. Let it go, praise God. Just give it to God. Give the results to God. I believe that the thief on the cross that was saved at the last hour, the 11th hour of his life, is going to get, and you may disagree with him, but he's going to, in a sense, he's going to get the same reward as you or me. In a sense. And what is that? The greatest reward is eternal life. There are rewards for work, yes. He said, our works will be tried as fire. Some are going to be burned up because they were selfish. They were all about ourselves. We didn't listen to God. We went out and did what we thought we ought to do. And I've done a lot of that and see it burn up already, you know. But praise God. Well, we'll go on here. He had faith to die, to rise again, to return to the throne of His Father in heaven. This is the faith we must have operating in each of us. Some this morning, you're feeling, if this happened to me or that happened, Job was that way. He said, what I feared the most has come upon me. You're full of fear this morning. Oh, if that happens, if my husband dies, my wife dies, if I lose my job, if I get sick, if I can't, you know, is that right? We're full of it. We need the faith of Christ. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And I'll tell you what really played into that was faith. That faith that he had. If we can find out where he got it, if we can have that same faith, we can face whatever he faced. He's tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin or failure. We must grow up into a greater faith than just for salvation alone. Or for deliverance. He said he gives every man a measure of faith. That's so every man can be saved. Can be. Doesn't mean they will be, but they can be. There's levels of faith. Yes, there are. The disciples one time said, increase our faith. He didn't even answer them. Because why? Because it's not about my faith or your faith. It's us having the faith of Christ operating in us. We can. There's a faith greater than faith for deliverance, or to be healed, or to pay our bills. The greatest. You know what? We usually stop with our faith is when we get what we think we need. Then, you know, it's like, okay, you went fishing, you finished fishing, you put your fishing pole up. You got to some point, you needed something, you had faith for it. Okay, you got to put your faith up. Y'all understand what I said? Just put it on the shelf somewhere. The greatest faith to have and to grow up into is more than just having faith in Christ. We must have faith in Christ, but there's a greater faith. And it's to have the faith of Christ. Most never get past having faith in Christ for salvation. And that's the truth. But are you growing up into the growing up to Christ in all things? Are you growing up into the faith of Christ? Romans 11:36, for of Him, Christ, and through Him, Christ, and to Him, Christ, are all things, to whom Christ be glory forever. The Scripture says that all things are of Christ. Some things are all things. We need to get this. Why are we limited in Him? Why are we, Well, I'll tell you a big problem we have is we want to keep control of as much of our life as we can.
Yeah.
Is that the truth?
Yeah.
You don't want to let go of it. It says all things are of Christ. Do we possess the faith that is of Christ? 1 Corinthians 8:6, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. All things. And I know I'm just speaking of faith this morning, but let me tell you that everything about my life and your life has to be of Christ.
Yes.
It must be.
Yes.
If it's not, there'll be failure there. The reason that we're in some of the failure we're in is because we've been doing things of ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
We don't even know how to pray as we ought. Mm-hmm. We don't know anything as we ought. This old saying, well, God helps those who help themselves. You show me that verse in the Bible. You can't. Praise God. It's kind of like some people think there's a verse in the Bible that says every tumble set on its own bottom. It's not in there. Praise God. I've heard people quote that. It's not in there, though. Praise God. Of whom are all things. This includes faith. Then we read concerning Christ, and we by Him. This speaks of our possessing the faith of Christ. Hebrews 2:10. For it became Him, this is speaking of Christ, the whole Word of the whole Scriptures about Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Him, and the Word was Him. It's about Christ. That whole Bible you hold in your hands is about Christ, the revelation of Christ. And even the last book in the Bible, let me tell you, it's not a book of end times. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it begins with that. When John sees Him on the Isle of Patmos and he falls as a dead man, and the Lord has to revive him, it's a revelation of Christ. It doesn't matter what it is in that Bible, though, end times or whatever, healing, deliverance, anything, it's about Christ. Everything is by Him and for Him and to Him and of Him. Praise God. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, we in Him, one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Praise God. Hebrews 2:10, for it became Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. I need to stop and say this. What is salvation? Salvation is you cease to live, and He begins to live in you and through you. That's salvation. And it's a terrible lie to tell people, you just come and receive Jesus, you go on your merry way and try to be the best you can. Wait for them till you go to heaven. And by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Again, what is Christ? What is He? What is this thing about Christ? It's to bring many sons into glory. That's it. Oh, glory, that's His calling. Bring you and me into glory. Faith will be required for every son who is brought into glory. What is glory? Well, the glory that He speaks of is the image of Christ. The revelation of Christ, which is the revelation of the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're one. And again, we read concerning Christ, by whom are all things. Therefore, the faith that we must have as a child of God must come by the faith of Christ operating in us. All things are of Christ, including our faith. And we look here at an example of the faith of Christ. Matthew 21, verse 18. In the morning, As Jesus was returning into the city, he became hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves. What's he going to find on you and me? And he said to it, "May no fruit ever come from you again." Those are terrible words, folks. Those are terrible words. What those words are, if you look to it to the full extent, is, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you."
Yeah.
It's the, as in Revelation chapter 20, "Bind them hand and foot and cast them into the lake of fire, which is the second death. May no fruit ever grow on you again." I don't want God to say that about me. I'm sure you don't want to hear that about yourself. You didn't have fruit. He came, you had no fruit. And he says, "May no fruit ever grow on you again." And the fig tree withered at once. There's a point where the Lord will curse everything that is not bearing fruit. I don't want to be the recipient of His curse. Remember the parable of the tree that was not bearing fruit. And the garden was told to cut it down so that it would not take up space where a productive tree could be planted. That's the interesting thing, isn't it? It's almost like saying there's only so much space in this whole thing. And if you and I don't produce fruit, which is the image of Christ, then we're out. He'll remove us. You know, the church I pastored there about 39 and a half years now. I haven't been there too long. The Lord said something to me. He said, "If you don't do what I tell you to do here, I'll remove you and put someone here that will do what I tell them to do." That tells me something. God has His eye on that place. Little place called Peerless, not on a lot of maps even. He has His eye on it. It's not about me. It's about that place. You say, "Well, I don't know about that." But we have examples in the Scripture. His eye was on the land of Israel. There were wicked people there, and He removed them and put a people called Israel there. But you know what they did? They acted worse than the ones that they replaced. So what did He do? He removed them from that place. You're holding, I'm holding a place. We're breathing air in that place.
Yeah.
We're using up energy there. He removed them. He has allowed them to come back finally in 1948. And they're there. They're there because He's going to do something there. His eyes ever on Mount Zion. So they've taken up place. And He said, "Remove them. We'll put some. I want someone there that will be productive." Praise God. Now the people getting into heaven are those that have borne fruit and that are productive. "Well, I'm going to rule and reign with Him." You are. Don't see much of that right now. You know what? You understand what I'm saying? He's watching you. He's watching me to see what we're doing. We can sing it all we want that I'm going to rule and reign with Christ. But not unless we meet His qualifications. Then we're bearing His fruit. Let me put it in an easy way here, maybe. Who is going to rule and reign? Christ. Well, let me say this. Only the ones that are in the image of Christ are going to rule and reign with Him, or we're going to have chaos. Confusion. These people that are calling themselves Christian, doing what they want to do, they're not going to rule and reign with Him. Well, that'd just be hell again. That'd be earth again. If they got into heaven, they'd mess it up. They would. They'd be... You ever found out there's a thief among you? Oh my goodness, lock everything up. Get some video cameras, security cameras. There's a thief. There ain't going to be no security cameras in heaven. And there's not going to be any locks. Because there ain't going to be no thieves there. Or whatever you want to call them. It's not going to be there. Or it wouldn't be heaven, would it be? I want to go to a place where I don't have to worry about that. I really believe that heaven's not going to be at all what most people think it's going to be. But there, God's got a plan, and His plan's going to go right through eternity. Awesome plan. Praise God. Now, lest we think we can justify ourselves by deciding what is fruit and what is not fruit, notice that the Scriptures are very plain on this. The fruit of God is looking for is one thing, that's the image of His Son. Romans 8:29 says it very plainly, "For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." That's what God's looking for. Sons and daughters. But we're not a son and daughter unless we're in the image of his son. Firstborn among many brethren, conformed to the image of his son. I cannot be his son and act like I want to act and do what I want to. I cannot be his son. You cannot be his son, his daughter. None of us can be if we're doing our own thing. And there's a lot of people even in ministry that are doing their own thing. And it's about them and it's not about him. And it's for their glory and not his glory. But he said he'll share his glory with no man. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 we read that God has chosen the weak things, the base things, the nothings to bring to naught what it is, that no man can glory in his presence. He's chosen them. It's not, oh poor God, he couldn't find anybody else to do it. No, that's what he chose. I must say that he chose a people that are humble. Humble. You ever just sit before the Lord and humble yourself before him? Just sit and say, Lord, I humble myself before you. This walking around like a with a cocky attitude and a haughty attitude, and it won't work with God. He will bring you or me down. He will not have it. Praise God. Parents, grandparents, you see your children, your grandchildren walking around, you know, strutting around with a cocky attitude, nip it in the bud. Stop it. Praise God. For their sake. For their sake. Praise God. There's a young man at home. He struts around like a, he's this young teenager, struts around like a rooster, you know, just strutting all the time. I told his dad, your boy sure does strut. I don't think he liked me telling him that, but well, I know he does. Well, do something about it, praise God. You know who he is. You know what? If you won't control your children, somebody will. When that jail we go to, I'm amazed. I did not realize how many 17-year-olds there are in there. 18-year-olds. Just children. They're just children. And my heart goes out to them. Praise God. Well, there'll be no excuses, no defending anything. It's either we're being changed to the image of Christ or we'll be cursed and we will wither. We'll be cut down. The gardener did ask for another year so that he could fertilize it and dig around it. And then if it still did not bear fruit, he would cut it down. I would say many are at the point of being cursed or being cut down, even in the religious circles. God's no respecter of persons. Just because a minister wears a backward shirt or collar or whatever that is, and a cross around his neck and all that, that does not mean anything to God. That's just his costume. I told you last time, everybody's wearing a costume. You know that? Everybody, you've got a costume on. I have a costume on. But he said, let it be modest. Okay, praise God. So many are at the point of being cursed, being cut down. People are playing games with God. They're not being sincere with God. God's about ready to spew them out of his mouth, as he said in Revelation chapter 3. And he's going to spew somebody out of his mouth, folks. There's some going to hear, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Oh, it's somebody else, never me, you know. Search our heart. People have been lied to. Some preachers, teachers are not telling people the whole truth. That God expects more than just a salvation experience. He demands that all who come to him must come through Christ. That's in John 14:6. And what does it mean to come through Christ? It's to deny our image, ourself, our person, and be changed into the image person of Christ. Verse 20, we're talking about that tree. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither at once? And Jesus answered them, listen to this, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to this fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatsoever you ask in faith, you receive if you have faith. Now you know there is, in dealing with every situation that God calls us to deal with, there are two approaches primarily that God would have us to, and whichever one he leads us into. There is the speaking to things and situations, spirits, whatever, speaking to them. And then there's prayer about them. When Jesus, when he stormed the sea, when he calmed the storms of the sea, he didn't get down in the boat on his knees, oh God, please make this storm go away. He spoke to the sea. He spoke to the fig tree. He said, you can speak to the mountain. There's some things we need to quit praying about and start speaking to it with the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us and with the faith of Christ in our heart. There's some things you pray about, some things you speak to. Moses didn't get down and pray, oh God, please part these waters. He heard what God said, which is exactly what Jesus said. I never do anything I don't see Him do. I never say anything I don't hear Him say. Moses heard what God said, and he pointed that rod out there and divided that water. Let's look all through the Scripture. There's either speaking, and sometimes we pray. Jesus said to Peter, see, in this situation, He said, Satan's desire to have you may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Notice He didn't say, I prayed for you that you wouldn't fail, but that your faith fail not. Praise God. It's more important that our faith doesn't fail than we fail or don't fail. You understand? It's more important. You can get up and go on if you've got the faith of Christ, even after a failure. Praise God. Now, what we're seeing is a demonstration of the faith of Christ. We see this faith of Christ operating in every imaginable, hopeless situation, overcoming every onslaught of the devil. Oh, don't you want to be there? Praise God. Even overcoming death, when death is swallowed up in victory. He stops funeral processions and raises them from the dead. He goes to a tomb where man's been dead 4 days and calls him out by his name. Lazarus, come forth. You know what, though? There were some things, preliminary things that had to be done. And that was he had to tell them to roll the stone away. They had to cooperate with that. And everything God does in our lives, there's a part we have to do that we have to cooperate in, right? We can't just say we have faith. We have to act out our faith. Roll the stone away. Go wash your eyes. Go deep in the Jordan River. And there is no possibility that we could ever have such a faith of ourselves. I know I've tried, and you have too. I preach a lot of funerals. I used to, when nobody's looking, I'd get up there and I'd stand at that coffin and I'd say, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. I don't know what I'd have done if they had them. I'd have probably fainted. I'm just going to try it, you know, see if it works. What's the difference? Well, first thing, God didn't tell me to do it. Next thing, a lot of your prayers are not answered because God never told you to pray that prayer, never gave it to you.
Yeah.
Don't know how to pray as we ought. Let the Holy Spirit pray through you according to the will of God. And I didn't have the faith of Christ. I didn't expect Him to get up no more than you would. You know, I didn't have the faith of Christ. But if the Lord wanted, and He has many times, I think they said Smith Wigglesworth raised 28 people from the dead.
Yeah.
But that's because God told him to.
Yeah.
And that's because he had faith that was beyond his faith.
Yeah.
Oh, what a man of faith.
Yeah.
Whose faith?
Yeah.
Praise God. Have you ever just licked your wounds? Just went from one defeat to the other? There might be an answer. I know there is an answer.
Yeah.
We're all trying to operate in our faith. Faith somebody tried to teach us. We read it in the book instead of operating with the faith of Christ.
Right.
Hallelujah. If I can have His righteousness, I can have His faith too. Grow up to Christ in all things. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We're not saying faith for Christ to do something. Now, did you catch that? Faith for Christ to do something. But we have the faith of Christ, and we do. He said, you do the works that I did, and greater works than these shall you do. Because I go to the Father, what's He going to do? He's going to send the Holy Spirit back.
Yeah.
Where do we get that faith of Christ? It's through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It is us that Christ is telling to speak to the mountain, or to the disease, or to death, or to whatsoever the situation is. If the faith of Christ is operating in us, then we'll see the same results that Christ saw. Well, amen or not?
Amen.
If I have His faith, I'm going to see the results He saw.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm led by His Spirit.
There you go. Yeah.
John 14:12, truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes on me, and I quoted that, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Living the life of Christ by the faith of Christ. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm reading King James here. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, I've got to explain some. I don't know what translation you're reading. But almost all the modern translations change that from by the faith of the Son of God to faith in the Son of God. They change that in these translations. Why? Well, a lot of translations say a lot of things because the translators have an agenda. You understand what I said? They have an agenda. Another reason, because they have a certain principles and set of their doctrines, and they're going to stick with that. And where they have the leeway, they're going to make it say what their doctrine says, that they believe in. Another thing is because they look at that and say, well, that can't be right. It's got to be faith in the Son of God because they have no revelation. But it says the faith of the Son of God. Now, I'm not just standing here telling you this. I look at this. Get to that in a minute. It's not correct to change that. It's what the translators think it should be based on their own doctrines, their own understanding. Why would you want to read any translation that was not anointed of the Holy Spirit or by the revelation of the Holy Spirit? You know what? When I read the Scripture, first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to read it in the Holy Spirit, so to speak, or the revelation of the Holy Spirit. I hear a lot of things, I read it, and I say, that's the Holy Spirit in me said that's not right. That's not right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We don't need to be gullible. Just if you're reading a modern translation, it'll change it. Now, I'm going to give you another example, Acts 1:8. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, this is His last words, He said, but you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto Me. Unto Me. The modern translations, most of them change it and say, witnesses for Me. Why do they change that? Why do they say for Me instead of unto Me? Because in their mind, we're doing something for Him. But it's very important that we pay attention unto Me. Now, if I'm doing something for Christ, I'm in charge. You understand that? But if I'm being a witness unto Christ, in other words, I'm being what He is, I'm growing up into Christ in all things, I'm coming into His image, that's a totally different concept. I'm to be Christ to this world. I'm in the image of Christ. They look at me, they see Him. Like Jesus said, you see Me, you see the Father. But they change it to say something totally different. You're going to be a witness for Christ. Isn't that wonderful? We're just all going to go do something for the Lord. In a sense, we'll never do anything for Him. He doesn't need anything. We can do it as Christ working through us. I know that's a lot to say there, but all things are of Him, by Him, to Him, for Him. And I'm going to come along and do something for Him. That's what the problem is right now. We've got all these people doing something for Him. We don't need that. There's more to that. But whatever we think being a Christian is and being saved is must be based upon one fact. We must cease living our own agenda. Quit trying to be in charge of your salvation. And give ourselves over to Christ and allow Him to live His agenda in us. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And through us every day in everything for the rest of our lives on this earth. You know what the big battle is? Jesus said it plain. If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself. And we have a real problem with that. Even in the religious things, we have a real problem with denying ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is the way it ought to be. Going to do something for Him. No, deny yourself. Yeah. Me, deny myself. It's what it means to be saved, to be a Christian, to be sanctified, to be accepted by God, to go to heaven, to be with Christ when we die. No one's going to heaven to be with Christ who's not with Him now.
Yeah.
You don't have time for Him now, but you think you're going to go to heaven to be with Him?
Yeah. Amen.
You're telling Him what to do all the time, figuring things out for Him, planning things for Him. He don't need that. Why? We don't know anything. We're stupid. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be ugly about it, but we're just clueless. I know I am. Enough of this doing what we think we ought to do. And start hearing what He tells us to do. But He didn't tell me anything. They don't do anything. You know what? Okay, the children of Israel moved when the cloud moved, or the pillar of fire by night. But we just think we've been here too long. We'll get an airplane fly over and see that cloud and make it move. You know, some crazy thing. Some of you pray for the cloud to move, and He don't want it to move, but he may give you what you want. You won't like it. As long as the cloud didn't move, if it was 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, they sat right there. But when it moved, they packed up quickly and followed it. Could our lives become now a following the cloud rather than doing our own thing? Praise God. You know what, though? He said, my sheep know my voice, and strangers will not fall. Said to flee from it. You've got to be able to see the cloud. Know my voice. You catch that? Know my voice. You've got to be able to see the cloud. You've got to see it move. Some people can't see the cloud. Most people can't see the cloud. Only cloud they have over them is a cloud of doom. You know, just raining on their parade all the time. Because they choose to live that way. Oh, I'm just getting way off here, but... you know, people control other people with sickness, with their sickness. There's a lady, first church I pastored, mother of the church. I don't know how they decided that, but anyway, she's the mother of the church. And one day I sat in her living room. I was just young, I was very young. And I was looking at her, and I had a vision of an evil queen on her throne. I said, oh, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Don't you say this about the mother of our church. I found out it's exactly right. That's what she was. The Lord's trying to help me, and I thought it was the devil. How many times you thought it, what the Lord said was the devil, or you thought what the devil said was the Lord, or whatever. You know, you can't not spend enough time in prayer and in the Word, enough time humbling ourselves, running off doing what we want to do. You know, there were two men, and one of them was given the message to run. The other one, he said, I want to run too, and he just took off and he outran the other one. When he got there, he didn't have anything to say. Nothing to say. Well, I'll figure out something to say. In praying for people and operating in the gifts and in the word of prophecy, which is the three purposes of a word, a prophecy, is exhortation, edification, and encouragement, or to encourage, comfort. Those are the three things. But when you're praying for someone, and if don't make up a word. Oh my goodness. You understand you're going to be held accountable for every word you speak to a person. Right? Don't make up something. If God doesn't have anything to say, don't say anything to them. Just bless them. And when God quits saying something, you quit saying it. Don't go and add more to it. We're going to be held accountable for those words. Anyway, so, praise God. To be with Christ in this earthly life means one thing, that a person is being changed into the same image of Christ. Jesus said in one place, where I am, my disciples will be also. That's why I asked you at the beginning, are we sitting to head together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus? Are we now? We must be now. In another place it says our citizenship is in heaven. Right? Not on this earth. Another place it says, most of these are in Hebrews, last part of it. Another place says, here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Another one says, we look for a city whose builder and maker is God. A city not built with hands. All that God would get this world out of us. And get us into heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Well, I just got to do that. Do you really? Or do you trust Him? Coming into the full measure of Christ. It's not us living for Christ. I'm going to live for Jesus. You are. See how far you get with that. I'm going to live for Jesus. But rather, it is Christ living His life in us and through us. Him living His life in us and through us. Well, you're going to have to give up something there. You're going to have to give up self. Self-determination, self-preservation, self-assertion, all the things about self. And we do have to give it up. It's not a co-living. It's not a dual-living. It's not us living our life and Christ living His life in us at the same time. It's not adding Christ to who we are. We must cease to exist. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. We cease to exist and He lives His life through us. We actually have to lose our identity. The world tells you, find yourself. Find your identity. Know who you are. That's the worst thing you can do. Scripture says, forget those things that are behind. There was a preacher came, Paris Reedhead. I tell this a lot. you want to hear a good message, it's Paris Reedhead, and it's 10 shekels in a shirt. You can find it on the internet easy. They call it the message, the sermon of the 20th century. But in that sermon, he talks about a preacher came to him, young preacher had a successful church, but he saw that Paris Reedhead had something a little more successful. He came to him and said, I want to know your secret. I want to know what you got. He said, well, I'll tell you what it is, brother. Get out of the driver's seat and sit in the passenger seat. He said, no, that won't even work for you. He's going to have to lock you in the trunk and drive. Some of us are so full of ourselves. And it stinks to heaven. So we sure mean, well, it's just things that God has dealt with me about. I'm not trying to attack anybody. Are you full of yourself this morning? Does your life revolve around yourself? Is it what you want? Your hurts, your pains, your expectations. Look at yourself. Is it just swirling around you? And if a little piece of that swirl falls off, you just go crazy. Incapacitated. Can't even get out of bed. Oh, I lost a little piece of my world. Better lose all of it. You can't take that stuff with you. No, but I need it while I'm here. Do you really? Do I? We've been lied to ourselves till we don't even know what the truth is. But the truth is Christ. That's easy, isn't it? That's safe ground there. In the image of Christ. It's not us living our life, Christ living His life in us at the same time. But it's our life being erased, dead, gone, and in the place of our life, it is Christ living His life in us and through us. I want to give you, I was telling you, I've looked this up on these places where they change scriptures, change just one word. You know, these modern translations can change one word and change the total meaning of that verse. It's a good thing. I'm just telling you this morning, it's a good thing if you'll learn the King James. If you're going to read another translation, know the King James well enough that you know when those others get off. If you have a New International Bible, it doesn't even have the last part of Mark chapter 16. It's not even there. And many others, it's not even there. If you look into it in Dake's Bible, if you're familiar with that, he has a lot of commentary. Dake's Bible goes into that in depth. And he just debunks that whole thing that they've got. Oh, in the later transcripts. And if I remember correctly, he says there's only three. And one of them left space, maybe two of them left the space where that was. And I don't remember what all he said, but he just totally tears that theory up. Anyway, so off the translations. The Greek interlineal says, with Christ I've been co-crucified. I live no more, but Christ lives in me. And what now I live in the flesh, by the faith of the Son of God I live. Faith of the Son of God, that's Christ, loving me and giving Himself up on behalf of me. Another good thing, if you're really serious about studying the words, get you an interlineal Greek, and it'll have the English words underneath the Greek words. In some places, it's hard to understand. It's like, I went to Mexico for 25 years doing missionary ministry, and I'm just brain dead when it comes to learn another language, except the Holy Spirit, you know, I can't speak. But anyway, one of my oldest granddaughter, told me the other day she failed Spanish. I said, honey, don't worry about it. I made an F in Spanish in high school, I made an F in Spanish in college, and I still can't. I can say a few little things. And all that time going to Mexico. But you know what? I learned this. I used to go a lot to Nuevo Laredo to Victory Outreach, and when I was praying for people, I didn't have anyone to interpret if the Lord wanted to give them a word. And I thought, well, I can't give them a word because nobody interpreted. And the Lord told me, go ahead and do it. I noticed when I'd go ahead and speak it in English, they spoke Spanish, didn't speak English, God still would bless them. It's like, I don't know what He did. He had them understand or something. It's wonderful. Praise God. Everything and all things concerning Christ living His life in us and our own life, our own living, being always in every way denied, depends entirely upon faith. See, we've got to make a decision. If I do what he's showing me to do, see, the devil will be right there to tell you, that's not going to work out. You're going to be a fool. You're going to lose everything, whatever, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
It takes the faith of Christ to go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
It takes the faith of Christ to be praying for people and telling them things. And I don't know how, one time I was praying, there's a family in our church, and the daughter, teenage daughter, was standing beside her mother. And they're prominent people in the community. And the Lord gave me a word for that girl. I said, oh my goodness, if I say that and it's wrong, I'm going to get slapped. I don't know what's going to happen, because it was pretty serious. And they'll never come back, whatever. But I began to give her what the Lord said, and that little girl just broke and wept and cried. Because God was revealing some things she was doing. And do you understand what I'm saying? It takes faith. God tells you to get up from your land and from your kin to go in the land which I shall show unto you as you go. Takes faith.
Yes.
You know, we've been, if you want to just put it plainly, we've been sinning a lot because we haven't been obeying him, because we didn't have faith.
Yeah.
And we just couldn't see. We run everything through our filter. How it looks to us. How it's going to look to our friends. How it's going to look to our parents. How it's going to look to our wife, our husband. Lack of faith. His faith. Because God's going to require you to do things that are crazy. You know? Not that we're trying to do things like that, but it's that way. Look all through the Scripture. Fill those water pots with water. Take them, give them to the governor of the feast. Oh my goodness. You know, we'll be fired. They'll never let us work here again or whatever. All the things he said, all through the Scripture, not just the New Testament, the Old Testament too. There are many, many miracles in that Old Testament. David, just walk up that giant with your slingshot and some stones. Well, I said, oh, cut you in pieces and feed you to the birds. Well, he was wrong, wasn't he? Because David heard what God said, and he did it.
Yeah.
Praise God. Others are all quaking in their boots. They have no faith. Faith of Christ. And unless we don't understand the faith of Christ was in the Old Testament too. Many had his faith. Christ appeared many places. He was the rock that followed them through the wilderness, children of Israel. Okay. Faith is necessary in making every decision we make. Faith that it's the right decision to obey the Holy Spirit instead of our own reasoning and desires. Our own desire, the outcome we want to see. Everything in our walk with Christ requires faith, but a higher and more powerful faith than we possess. If we have faith, if we have Christ living His life in us, then we have available to us the faith of Christ to operate in us, if He's living in us. He's not living in us just like a little statue on the corner or a picture on the wall. Christ living in His life in us does not mean that He has removed our ability to make decisions. He never takes that power away from us, the right to choose. Christ does not force us to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know that. However, know that there are consequences to every decision we make. How many are going to stand before Him and say, well, we did this, we did that. And He said, well, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Why are they workers of iniquity? Because they did what they want to do instead of what the Holy Spirit told them to do. That's trespassing. Forgive us our trespasses. You trespassed on the will of God. To be led by the Holy Spirit in every decision and action means that we must be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And then we must obey His voice and not obey our voice. Or the voice of the devil, or the voice of the world around us. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We cannot do enough good works to ever justify ourselves in the sight of God. You can't have a great enough ministry to justify yourself. Unless we're justified in the sight of God, we'll perish in eternal punishment. This is a strong statement, but it's the truth that we must all hear and understand. And that truth can make us free from our sinning and the price that we'll pay for our sin. It's not a thing to play with, for judgment in eternity is close for all of us. Possibly much closer than we think it is. Are you now justified in the sight of God? Let's not just think and talk about the doctrine of justification. Sit around and talk about doctrines and principles, but never do them. and how to think about how justification is necessary. And let me stop and say this. Some people think that all you have to be justified is to identify with Christ. That's wrong, folks. I can identify whatever I want to identify. It doesn't make me that. Some people think, well, I'll just hide behind Christ and God won't see my sin. No, He can see right around. See what you're doing back there. Identify with. Well, isn't that one? That's a cop-out. That's an easy way. Just identify. Quit. Instead of being in the image of Christ, just identify with. Do you see the difference? I'm just going to identify with. Well, so what? Be in the image of Christ and you're eternally lost and doomed. Me too. All of us. Well, I just don't think it's that hard. Really. It's whatever that word says, not what I think or you think. Simply put, justification means that we're in the image of Christ. That's the only thing that's going to be justified is the image of Christ. Because He's the only one, Christ His Son, that He ever said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." That was Matthew 3:17. 2 Peter 1:17. For He received from God, that's Christ Jesus, God received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Repentance from our sins is necessary. But that's not the end. We must also have a changed life. That's necessary. Change to what? Change the image of Christ. We can't do this. He has to do it. The Holy Spirit does it. But let us be careful here, for a changed life means more than our life being better. As a man down in Houston got a big church, wrote a book, "Your Best Life Now." Oh, that's damnable is what that is. My life better. That, you know, there's so many people running out. I love these guys in jail, but you listen to them and they just want God to get them out of jail. Just all pray that they're fixing to go to the judge. Pray that I, and I understand that. Who wants to be in jail? I don't. But some of them need to stay in there a while. They'll live longer. At least while they're there, in most cases, they're not doing drugs and not alcohol, killing themselves with alcohol, and somebody's going to shoot them and kill them, you know, for the most part. It's all about ourselves. Using God to get what self wants. Change life. And then you see these churches. We have one in Sulphur Springs right on Interstate 30, and they have it big letters on their roof even, I guess, so airplanes can see it. Change life. Change what? Your best life now? Better life for you? More pay? Bigger house? Bigger car? Get out of trouble? Let us be careful here. Praise God. It means that we exchange our life for the life of Christ being lived in us and through us forevermore in every situation, all day long, every minute. Just don't know if I can do that. Well, that's what salvation means. This will require more faith than just our believing in Christ. That He's the Son of God, that He died and rose again. You know the devil believes that and trembles. This changed life, and the Scripture says so, this changed life justifies us will require the faith of Jesus Christ being alive and operating in us at all times. When the devil comes around to question our place in Christ, we must have more than our faith. You must have the faith of Christ to answer his accusations. The devil questioned Christ's place in the Father. He said, "If you be the Son of God, do this, do that." Those that watched Christ die on the cross questioned his place in the Father. "If you're the Son of God, get us down off this cross. Come down off that cross." Knowing this persecution of the devil and his people against Christ, then know that this persecution is coming to you and to me. And to get victory over this persecution, we must have the faith of Christ operating in us. That's the only faith that's going to be successful. The devil tempted Christ at all points. Knowing that the devil tempted Christ at all points, then know that temptation is coming to us. And to get victory, he said, what you overcame by your victory, even your faith. Even your faith, but it's got to be, your faith has to become his faith. My faith has to become his faith. To get victory, oh, he's such a man of faith. Oh, whatever. Then know that temptation's coming. To get victory over temptation, we must have the faith of Christ operating in us. Romans 1:17 says, "The just shall live by faith." Galatians 3:11 says that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The just are those who are being justified in the sight of God by faith, the faith of Christ. What faith is Scripture referring to? Is it a faith that I must conjure up, that I must produce, that I must hang on to and maintain? You ever greeted your teeth, I'm going to have faith, I'm just going to believe God's got to go do this. That's not what he's talking about. Really, there's an easier way than the faith of Christ operating is. I tell you what, if you come up to a situation, no matter how hopeless it is, and the faith of Christ is operating in you, and God showed you what to do, it's going to work. It will. Praise God. No, this faith that we need is the faith of Christ, but not just faith in Christ. Please understand there's a difference in faith in Christ. Faith on Christ, there's a difference between that and faith, the faith of Christ. We walk by faith, not by sight. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, to all and on all them that believe. Now, I want to say this. There is a need for faith in Christ. We begin there. Faith in Christ. The process begins with our believing in Christ that He's the Son of God. Rose again. Died, rose again. At the right hand of the Father. The next step is believing on Christ, His work on our behalf. And then as Christ is revealed in us by the work of the Holy Spirit, we can possess the faith of Christ, which is the ultimate faith. That's where we're headed for. Should be. Galatians 3:22, but the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise of the faith, by the faith of Jesus Christ, might be given to them that believe. We see it here again. Do we know why we're not seeing the works of Christ accomplished? It's because we don't have the faith of Christ. We cannot see the works of Christ unless we have the faith of Christ. Ephesians 3:11, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him, of Christ. It's not, it's not that I get myself so clean and righteous that I can have boldness before God. That's not where you get your confidence. The confidence comes because you have the faith of Christ as you stand before Him. The eternal purpose of God is bound up in His Son. And if we're outside of His Son, then we're outside of God's eternal purpose. And outside is not a good place to be. There's an old song. My parents, they bought a stereo and they gave me some free 78 RPM records. Anybody ever heard of one of those? 78, 45, 33. And the big, thick records, you could hit somebody on the head and hurt them. And I don't know why that kind of thought came to me. But anyway, you could have it. And I inherited. Nobody else wanted them. My sisters wanted to throw them out, but I took them. I finally got a record player. And this old song about Noah and the ark. And he said that, I'm so glad I'm on the inside looking out. It's good to be in the ark looking out. Sit on the outside of the ark looking in. Right? It's good. It's good. It'd even be better to be in the lion's den with Daniel than on the outside. Who rested that night? Was it the king or was it Daniel?
Oh, hey, that's good.
Well, it's the Scripture. Praise God. It's the Scripture. Praise God. The old king was walking back and forth and all night long worrying. Oh, God, keep him. I made a mistake. I messed up. This island. I'm going to be in big trouble if those lions eat him. As quick as he could, he got down there that morning and said, oh, Daniel, did your God keep you? Long live the king. He pulled him, got him out, and threw those people in there, and they were crunching on their bones before they hit the bottom of the pit. You know what? I want to tell you, I want to encourage you this morning. You live for God. And let people do what they want to try to do to you. But you may live to see the lions crunching their bones. I've seen it many times. I have. I can stand here and tell you. My wife went with me to the nursing home to see one woman. The lions were crunching her bones. Spiritually speaking. Praise God. I don't rejoice in that. I don't rejoice in it. But it's Scripture, folks. touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. That's a very serious scripture. I've even heard some. One time, church I grew up in, the leadership of the church was trying to keep control of the church. And so they knew that scripture's in there, and they said, well, we're God's anointed too. Who else said that in the scripture? It's a woman. What was her name? Starts with an M. I'm trying to give you hints.
Miriam.
Miriam. She got up in Moses' face. Well, we're anointed too. What happened to her? Leprosy appeared on her forehead. They got kind of... They changed their attitude, didn't they? Humbled herself real quick. Real quick, praise God. I was driving a school bus for the school, not our school, but before that. And there's a girl that was so ugly to me. She cursed me, cussed me, showed me her finger, did a lot of other things. And one morning she was getting on the bus. I sat there. She was getting on. She's an older teenage girl. I don't know how she did it. I didn't trip her, but God tripped her. She fell with her face right at my feet. Right at my feet. I didn't laugh. You'll see them. In fact, the scripture says they'll bow down to you. Be careful how you react to that. Somebody messing with you, just let God have it. He'll take care of them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't fret yourself because of evildoers, he said. Well, Philippians 1:27, only let your living be as it becomes and reflects the gospel of Christ. Praise God. With one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. The gospel is Christ. It's not a manual or a method of salvation, healing, deliverance, prosperity. It's Christ. Everything's Christ. Philippians 3:9, and be found in Him, Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law or obeying the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. You can't make yourself righteous. Have you tried? Read Romans 7. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He said, I've tried to do good and I ended up doing wrong, do bad. But he said, thank God through Jesus Christ. All right, we have to wait. I know this is, this has helped me so much. When I've tried so hard to quit doing some things that were wrong in my life. And I began to, God showed me this scripture. I begin to understand it. There is, okay, you're praying for healing. Sometimes you have to wait, don't you? Sometimes you realize I'm not what I need to be in Christ. I want to be righteous. I want Christ to be my righteousness. He said Christ is made unto His righteousness. Not in identification, but in reality. Well, we have to pray for righteousness and wait for it by faith. Till God does it. And He's big enough to do it in you and me. He's big enough to make me and you righteous in His sight. But He's not. He can't do it until we let go and let Him. Amen? We let go and let... All we're going to do is we're going to frustrate the grace of God. And grace is not a merited favor. It's the power of God. Our faith alone will never produce the righteousness of God. We need the faith of Christ to come into the righteousness, so we can come into the righteousness of God. James 2:1. My brothers, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Well, they had the faith of Jesus Christ, but they were mistreating people, and they were treating the rich people better than the poor people. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Faith of Jesus, not in Jesus, but of Jesus. Most modern translations, I believe, still have that one right. They didn't take that. They didn't change that one. It's necessary to keep the commandments of God to please God. But also, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6, whose faith? My faith? No, the faith of Christ. Without faith, it's impossibly justified in the sight of God. The reward of justification will come in two steps. First, resurrection from the dead. And then ascension to the throne in heaven. This is only possible as we're gathered together in one in Christ. I know that seems like it's getting off the theme here, but when Christ, Romans chapter 1, first right off says, verse 4, that He was proved to be the Son of God by the resurrection of the dead, by the Spirit of holiness, which is the Holy Spirit. If Christ had not risen from the dead, it would prove that he was a farce, a lie, and wasn't telling the truth. There's a lot of people running around claiming to be things, but when this resurrection from the dead comes, we'll find out who's real and who's not real. Amen?
Amen.
They're not going to be in that first resurrection. They're going to be in the second resurrection. But he said in Revelation, he said that thank God that if we're in the first resurrection, whom the second death has no power over. It's only possible as we're gathered together in one in Christ, Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, which we're looking for, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Not in me, not in you, not in somebody's ministry, but in Christ. Both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. Being in Christ means that whatever comes to Christ will come to us. Whatever Christ inherits will also inherit if we're in him. First, Christ must be resurrected from the dead. And I read that scripture to you. After Christ rose from the dead, he ascended to the Father's throne in heaven. Acts 2:32, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted, Christ exalted at the right hand of God, have received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. He has poured out this which that yourselves are seeing here, and he's talking about what just happened in the upper room. There was something to see, something to hear. And in everything God does, there's something to see, something to hear. There's the Word and the works. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Those who are in Christ will follow Christ. They'll be where he is, John 12:26. Therefore, God will also raise us from the dead, and he will also bring us with Christ to sit with Christ in his throne. What does 1 Thessalonians 4 say? The dead in Christ he'll bring with him, praise God, so shall we ever be with the Lord, and comfort one another with these words. 1 Corinthians 6:14. Jane, I'm almost ready for you. Praise God. And God has both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power. Isn't that neat?
Amen.
Raise up the Lord and he's going to raise us up too. 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus. If we're in his image, it's by that image of Christ. Not just a historical Christ. And shall present us with you. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I am also overcome and have sat down with my Father in his throne. To enjoy this inheritance in Christ will be possible because we live by one thing. We possess the faith of Christ. Praise God. Will you stand with me? Dear saints this morning, dear people of God that have hope in you, hope of Christ, that are struggling, walking along in this thing here that we're walking in, failing sometimes, so disappointed in ourselves, wondering if we'll ever quit doing that thing that so easily besets us, that sin that so easily besets us. Buffeted on every side, this coming against us, that coming against us. And the devil tells you if you just quit living for God, that'll let up. And that may be true to an extent. Maybe true. But it's not worth it. I'm not going to trade walking with him in this life to have peace in this life but miss out in eternity, right? I'm not going to do that. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Have you ever thought about asking for the faith of Christ? Have you ever thought about that? We ask for the Holy Spirit. We ask for healing. We ask for finances. We ask. May God help us to remember this. If you can't remember it, go back there and sign up for the CD. It'll be sent to you. God, give us the faith of Christ. Give us the faith of Christ. Praise God. Give us the faith of Christ. Praise God. Give me the faith of Christ. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. There are people that have walked this earth and operated in the faith of Christ. But you can't do that unless you're coming into the image of Christ. I don't know what somebody told you this was all about. Hopefully they didn't lie to you. It's more than just getting saved. It's more than just getting deliverance. It's more than just being healed. It's more than just going to heaven. It's Christ in everything. Everything. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He didn't just die for your sin, folks. We live because He lives. Meaning that we're living in the image of Christ. There is our salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you want prayer this morning, you'll come and stand. We'll pray for you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.